All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line we have Margie Pestoris from the Disrupt Land Forces campaign. Margie was one of the peace pilgrims that played a laminate at Pine Gap, and she's involved with the campaign to stop foreign assistance to the Indonesian militarisation of First Nations land in West Papua. So the reason why we have her on the for the program today is in Brisbane, this coming Tuesday, there's going to be a protest against the Land Forces Expo. And the Land Forces Expo is basically going to be this exhibition where the military is just the Australian ADF and military institutions are basically going to show off all their kind of new gear and all sorts of different things, basically promoting militarism, etc. and so on. So, yeah, good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Jacob. Yeah, we're here in Yuggera country in Minjin or in Brisbane, and it's a beautiful up here. We don't have COVID.
Yeah, well, maybe you might, but okay, you've had outbreaks before, but... yeah, well, that's actually every time we've interviewed someone from outside Melbourne, they've sort of mentioned that.
Well, it's a bit sad because we're missing some of our people from Melbourne who are not going to be able to get up here. But yeah. It's not quite true that we're running a protest next Tuesday. The Socialist Alternatives have got a small mass rally there next Tuesday morning, but we're running a week of resistance. And we started last night with the tanks rolling in last night, and we blocked one tank going into the convention centre for 4 or 5 hours, actually. It was an autonomous drone or a weaponised small tank that's an autonomous tank.
Mm.
And, yeah, so we've already started and it's on every day now until next Thursday, or maybe even Friday, because if they've had 4.5 days, 5 days bump in, presumably they'll have a few days bump out as well.
All right. Well, maybe to kind of start off, sorry for that information. I actually recalled that the protest was sort of outgoing, but then I got confused because it seemed to be the main event was on Tuesday. So maybe to start.
The Socialist Alternatives thought it's on Tuesday, but they're just organising one thing like for 2 hours on Tuesday morning. But we're organising a week of resistance. So we've got people coming in from all around the country. We've got West Papuans here. We've got First Nations people tonight. We kick off with a fire to tell the stories of the military of Minjin, because, you know, every city and every port, every river in this country was militarised, and especially in those early days, anything that was kicked off in the 1800s was militarised.
Well, just to interrupt, Margie, I guess maybe just for our listeners, maybe to start off, what can you tell us, I guess, about this Land Forces Expo, just so people can know, have a bit of an understanding, and I guess the political protest for why this sort of this sort of week-long kind of blockade slash protest is being organised against it?
Well, you know, the weapons industry is the only thing the government is doing at the moment. You know, if you look very closely, you'll find it's the only thing they're doing. And they're chucking $30 billion a year at it, and they've been doing that for 2 or 3 years now, and they have quite an extensive plan to build military facilities in every sort of marginal electorate across the country, to lock us into a program of 30 to 40 years of industrial dependence on the death industry. And so it's following the US model. The big companies drive it. The big companies are in the corporations. They're in the ministers' offices, both the federal and the state ministers' offices. They're getting as much money as they can for themselves. That money, of course, trickles out to their profiteers overseas or where they've got investors, and then a certain amount then they are tied, or they're supposed to be grooming Australian companies to enter the supply chain. So this is a massive economic project, but of course a small percentage of the outcome goes to very great harm to First Nations people, you know, urban human rights activists, democracy activists, community-based struggles, civil resistance. This is where the weapons are headed. They're headed for us. those of us who are on the street, and they're there for our friends. You know, our friends are the people in Myanmar. They're the people in West Papua. They're the people who are being shot at and fired with by these weapons. And it's the same companies across the whole spectre.
Hmm. Well, that leads into very well, I guess, into the kind of next question, because as someone who was part of the Blockade IMARC protests, I think a few years ago, there were kind of all these sort of different kind of political links kind of formed between sort of different kind of sections and groups, because mining was particularly was an issue that affects all sorts of strands of society. And I guess what I want to hear is, I guess, some of the political themes that the protesters, I guess, drawing upon, given the kind of RAS links that can be made between Australian militarism. You know, we have the whole issue of the oppression of West Papua, which is something you have been heavily involved in. And, of course, there's also the whole issue of Palestine and arms aid to the Israeli Defence Force. And, of course, there's also been this sort of recent kind of rhetoric from the drumming up of war against China. So I kind of want to hear, what are some of the kind of political kind of themes and links that are kind of being forged in the course of this sort of protest?
So those are important. And then we also know that militarism drives extraction. So if we're going to talk about climate change or mining, you know, and look at those two things as linked and our economies based on those things, militarism drives those things. Those things don't really happen without extreme militarism. So you get the situation in the 1800s where they steal Aboriginal land with guns, with the British. The British military are the ones who move in a militarised police force. So you get the same thing happening in West Papua at the moment, which is very highly rich in copper and gold through a lot of its highlands. And so they're starting to carve it up, deforest, carve it up, and push the people that live there out of their villages. And there's a massive sort of refugee crisis, an internal refugee crisis happening right now in West Papua. So militarism drives extraction, and we have to realise that without military extraction, we have a much better chance at stopping extraction if we can handle militarism as well. And then we look at toxic masculinity. We think that a lot of the toxic masculinity we see in our society is driven again by the militarisation of men. As people move through the army system. And so we, of course, we've been at war for 20 years in Australia, and that war is driven by the weapons companies themselves. We know that weapons companies drove the invasion of Iraq and that they were involved in the perpetuation of the war in Afghanistan. Afghanistan could have finished years and years ago, but the weapons companies keep it going because they're the winners. You know, people go, oh, how come we haven't won? Well, they did win. The corporations won. And that's what they're after. They're up after massive profits that go with the perpetuation of war. They get to sell things as it's going on, and they get to sell things in the cleanup, and then they get to sell things in the next part where they, you know, re-destroy it in these cycles of violence that are waged against poor brown people away from the gaze of the white, privileged middle and owning classes. So we really look at that intersectionality between the violence that's going on against democracy struggles. We would say that the war with China was saber rattling. It's not a real thing. You know, there's no way Australia are going to challenge China. China has the might, a much huger might. There's no way we're going to get anywhere near to China. So it's a type of saber rattling that keeps everybody on edge and then allows them to perpetuate the way they push the weapons industry. So they're putting $30 billion a year into it at the moment. And they've been doing that for 2 or 3 years already, you know. So at the moment, this weapons conference is about. It's called Land Forces, so it's about army equipment, and it's run by the Queensland government. The Queensland government are facilitating the whole thing. You know, they've hired the hall, they've got the biggest space. They're the sponsors. There are other sponsors like Rheinmetall, Boeing, EOS is an Australian company that's making a huge amount of money in Canberra. These are companies that have big tenders with the Australian Army. And what this conference about is about all these, it's an incredibly cooperative industry. So they're all looking for new partnerships where they can stand in the shower of cash that is flowing out from the public purse to them. So that's really what the conference is about, is how can we get your cash? And that's our cash, right? And that's the cash that's driven, that comes from First Nations wealth. It comes from the land. So we can see this is the place where the fossil fuel industry and mining intersects with the weapons industry. So the money comes out of the fossil fuel industry and then it gets invested back into the companies that run the military industrial complex. And, you know, in there, there's virtually, you know, they run enough to keep the population compliant. And this is the festival of resistance. It's about not being compliant. It's to get out. You know, we were 4 hours last night. We had just four arrests, and we'll see those people in court this morning. But they sat there staunchly while the rest of us danced around the tanks and took up that space outside the convention centre to say no, that we ordinary people stand with the people of Myanmar who are being shot at. We stand at the with the people of Colombia who are having their eyes shot out with rubber bullets from that industry. We stand with the people of West Papua who are being beaten to death and shot at and strafed by Boeing helicopters. And we stand with the people of the southern Philippines who are just saying, let us develop our communities. And yet, and the people throughout the Philippines who stand up for justice. So we're looking at, pushing that discourse out and reminding people that without controlling the military-industrial system, eventually they come for us. And we know that they came from First Nations people a long time ago here in this country and that they continue to use their weapons systems of war, including incarceration, to control and subdue First Nations people where they can. Often they can't, though, because they're indomitable. That's what we're looking at. We've got a week of a program. Our program includes, theatre of intervention. We're looking at how we can get our crowds working together in a way that is much more creative, because we find that with a creative spirit, people are much more likely to want to join and be part of it. And that with a creative spirit, we can also message much more carefully into the wider society. And we're looking to disrupt. And, you know, we already started last night with a four-hour disruption. Unfortunately, after that, they brought two massive tanks into the weapons center, which had been our target. But they're obviously bringing stuff in Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 4 days of bump in. It's a lot of stuff that they're looking at.
Just to jump in there, and also just to give a, just to let kind of our listeners kind of know, is that 3CR is definitely going to be trying to cover as much kind of coverage of this ongoing kind of protest. Tune in potentially to other 3CR programs for more kind of coverage as the kind of protest sort of goes on. And now that gets into the kind of question of, and we're kind of running a bit, we're running just a bit tight on time, so we just have to be a bit quick on this. I guess you alluded to this already in your previous kind of response, but I guess just to get more concrete, I mean, what can you tell us about the protests and I guess how people will kind of be mobilised for it, like how long is it going to be going for? And and the kind of different sort of actions that are being sort of planned.
Yes, so we're bringing people together for Saturday and Sunday so people who haven't already been involved in the planning can come in and decide what they want. Of course, it's a do-it-yourself protest. It's not, we provide the container, but we don't necessarily do all the organising. There's a lot of other groups that are coming and being involved, and young people have ideas about how they want to address what's going on. But as I said, I mean, the things we can talk about the most are these sorts of ideas of theatre of intervention, using different sort of crowd techniques that include, dance and looking at ways you can unify the crowd. But we've also got a workshops. We're looking at STEM and the weapons industry in schools. We're looking at you know, just basic upskilling of activists, you know, legal briefings. We're looking at how people can research the weapons industry. We're really looking for targets that are going to be the sorts of targets that are going to be that yield to people power. And then we've got we'll be trying to stop some of the vehicles coming in to set up. So we've got a few days of intervention while they try and set up. And then while it's on, we'll be looking at disrupting people in the flow of the gathering. So obviously it's highly fortified, because as people in Melbourne know, they take their weapons and they put them in forts, whether that's high buildings behind lifts or big fences, but we'll find ways. You know, we have to move into the space to figure out how we're going to use it. And we're expecting to do this for several years. We don't think, you know, we shut it down with one mass protest on a Tuesday morning. You know, our idea is that they don't come back to this city. And we'll have a mass rally on Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. with the kickoff. You know, they're expecting Peter Dutton perhaps to be there. Certainly the Premier, you know, the state government is the major sponsor, so they're more likely to have Labor Party people come through, I would say. And, of course, it's a bipartisan issue, so both Labor and Liberal are totally in it together, and the Labor government of Queensland have totally sort of supported already and refused to say how much they've spent on it, and they've spent a lot of money. They're booking out this... Convention Centre.
Yep, sorry to jump in there, Margie, but we're actually pretty much have run out of time because our program technically ends at 8:30. But yes, I definitely want to, I think I'll probably leave you your comments there. We definitely wish you kind of all the best for the protest. We are in contact with all the kind of main sort of organisers and who are part of the action. So we're definitely wanting to sort of get any sort of recordings of speeches or of the protests that we're definitely wanting to play on 3CR. And also I definitely want to, because 3CR is a is something that streams online, there potentially could be some Brisbane listeners listening in now or people based in Queensland, and we definitely highly encourage you to be part of the protests. So yeah, thank you very much, Margie, for having a bit of discussion.
Come down Saturday, Friday night tonight for the fire and storytelling, Saturday morning for workshops, and Tuesday morning for the mass rally, but it's on all week as well, so come down and join us.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Margie. But yes, we're going to have to cut you off there because we're literally running out of time now. So yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.